Parshas Vayichi.
Tavshinayin.
So, Vayichi is gematria of 38. Right? Really, it should be 34. Right?
Yeah.
1 second.
I'm working hard.
Right?
You like potatoes or no?
I like meat.
Oh, no, 34. Right, it should be 34, right? Don't have to try and be watching.
6 plus 10 is 16. 16 plus 8.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. Vayichi is gematria 34. That's keneged, some say, is keneged the, you split 30, half of 17, half of 34 is 17. So you have the 34 is a total of the 17 years before Yosef disappeared, and the 17 years after Yosef disappeared. In other words, after Yaakov was back together with him. And it's saying that those were the best years of Yaakov's life. In other words, those years, 34 years, he actually lived. Because he had Yosef, the first 17 and the last 17. The Das Kanim says that Yaakov fed Yosef for 17 years, and then Yosef fed, and he lived. Literally means, and he lived in Mitzrayim, but it's saying, and he lived. Those were his best years when he actually had life, right? Like we know he said to Pare, last week's Parsha, like, I really haven't had such a great life. Whatever Chazal say about that, about have time. That was 22 years. Yeah, sure.
But what were the years like when he had Yosef before Yosef left?
Well, he was sitting with his prized Talmud. You had a Talmud Mavik sitting with his Rabbi Mavik.
That was the best years also?
So that's what it's saying, the 17 before and the 17 after, that equals the 34.
Who says that?
Sorry?
Who says that?
Who says it? Who says it? Bali Tosis.
Fletcher said last week, but Friday night, at the Kabbal Shabbos and Meir, he said that
Yaakov got to the boy at night. Right. Right, correct.
It's a sign of Gaulus, so I saw in
there more in the way.
Just
have these boots to get away. No, it's really not.
Then it cleans them up. Right. Definitely. Whatever. Listen, it was machaper. It definitely was. But it still doesn't take away that what Yaakov enjoyed the best was sitting learning with Yosef for those 17 years. And the 17 years that, well, we actually happen to have mentioned in, and we'll mention soon, last week's parasha, that Yosef never really showed up the whole 17 years when he was trying, so that Yaakov wouldn't ask him what happened. We'll re-mention that again in a second, but at least he was at peace with the fact that Yosef was back. Okay, Yaakov says to Yosef, Simno yodcha tachis yirechi. Right? Place your hand under my thigh. Did he or did he not?
Oh, so why?
It doesn't say. By Eliezer, it says he did.
Isn't
that enough to say that he didn't?
Why? Because it doesn't say it.
If it Vada says it by Eliezer,
right.
Then the fact that
that's the question.
Say it,
they wear tzitzis or tefillin?
As far as what you're saying, where were the other mitzvahs?
Yeah. Only mitzvahs you can think of?
Right. Well, what do you mean? I'm saying Hagufa. That's why it said, by Avram, it was said that's the mitzvah that was next to him.
Were they wearing tavas or tefillin?
It could be.
How do you touch that?
Why don't? Because for Avram, it was chavav to him. Because it commanded him, came in, and yeah. So maybe for Yaakov also, the fact that they were the only ones that kept it, it was a hard,
give it to you.
I guess.
I think that
Avram made it special, yeah.
I remember first I asked that type of question before, and someone told me because that was the first mitzvah that was directed at him.
Right, that's also true. It might have not been his first mitzvah. Tzitzit and tefillin were, they could be Mekayim if they wanted. Bris was given to B'nai Avram. That's probably what you mean to say. Bris was given to B'nai Avram.
I don't know.
No, but in other words, it was a mitzvah that was literally, they had to do, quote unquote. Tzitzit and tefillin, they didn't have to do. They didn't have to do Pesach. They didn't have to do Sukkot. They did it because they were Mekayim the whole Torah. But Bris was specifically, they got a command. Do Bris.
They told Avram.
Do you and your children. Do Bris, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, very nice. Very nice. So, did he or did he not? So, there are shittas that say that he did, and the Torah just doesn't say it. And there are other shittas that say he taka didn't, Because, like we said, it also, like, everyone's assuming that how could he go ahead and do that? What did he do, Lamaisa? Maybe Yaakov let him go without that and knew he would be Mekayman anyways. Lamaisa, it's interesting to note that there are those Mefarshim that explain that actually the process was simply, you know, sometimes like you do to your friend, like you put your hand on their chair and have him sit down on your hand, like as a joke. Well, that was a Zeis Lefnim B'Yisrael, they use a Lashon almost like in Rus, of that the handshake, that what they used to do is that they would have a master sit down on the servant's hand trying to show, like, I'm in control over you. So that's what happened over here. So then definitely that sort of,
would that be an issue because Yosef was a male?
It has to happen anyways. So I'm saying yes, you're right. Oh, we'll discuss in a second.
Why doesn't you say, why does it say that Yaakov says, swear to me that you could do this, and then Yosef says, I will do this, and then he says, swear to me. Good.
I think they deal with that.
Maybe you could do that when Eliezer was asked, Eliezer did it like, he did it even, like, Eliezer wanted to do it, but Yosef didn't. Like, he complied only
and
half.
I think I have an answer, because if he wouldn't have sworn, specifically say that I swear that I'm going to do this, Pari could have convinced him not to go.
Right, but that's the whole ikar for the Shvuah.
But that's why he's making him say explicitly, I swear.
They haven't answered that. I remember they asked that question, and they haven't answered that. I think they asked what the double wash is. Okay, nice Ara. And Lamaisa, about the Shavua itself, we know there's a famous Ramban that the Ovis did not have to be Mekayim, or were not Mekayim Torah, seemingly, in Chutz La'aretz. So if so, why does Yosef have to be Mekayim the Shavua? What does it help? What's going on here? So, the Chida... What?
Shavua has to do with Mitzvahs.
Of course, you have to keep your word. What you're trying to say, I think, is one of the answers. The Chida answers that the Ramban only meant that when they lived in Eretz Yisrael and then they went to Chutz La'aretz Al Das to come back to Eretz Yisrael, then they didn't necessarily have to keep the Torah. But more of a precedence of keeping the Torah was that if they went to Chutz La'aretz and they weren't coming back, which is what ended up happening, then they had to keep it. For instance, Yosef was gone. When he left Eretz Yisrael at 17, he was gone. And we know, been through Shechita, right, other things that he kept kosher and other things. He was never going back to Eretz Yisrael. So that definitely brings out this point that once they're done with Eretz Yisrael...
Is there a mitzvah?
It's a good question, but it could be that maybe the Ovis felt or whatever, that in Hashem's land it's more appropriate to be Mekayim, even if there's no commandment now. But when we're Chutz La'aretz, so there's less Kedusha, especially with all of Azar in the world. Sure, but Eretz Yisrael is the place Hashem was Baicha. That's the place where Hashem created what's God? Created the world from.
That's where Hashem chose. Isn't it the center of the world?
Yeah.
I'm guessing without it, like a...
They haven't just seen it. Yeah.
He does the like the statistics or like no. Just
UTC zero.
What do you mean?
The demographics, like this has to be the center of the world.
Yeah. This is where it was created from. Is that the current center of the world? Probably also. But the conditions of the world, definitely.
That's a mess.
Okay. Another answer is the Mishul Melech and the Avnei Nezer answer that anything that's mitzad seichel, they always had to be Mekayim no matter what. That's probably what you were trying to say. In other words, so it is a Seichel Dika thing to keep your word. So therefore, that could be why he had to do it. Hence, Yosef keeping his word. Exactly. That's not... Exactly. Nothing to do with that.
It's the way of...
Exactly. Proper etiquette, way of the world. That's why Yosef had to keep what he said to Pare and couldn't go back on it. And that's why Yosef also would have had to keep what he said to Yaakov. Yes. Yes, there are sheets like that as well. Yeah, definitely.
Not that they do.
Correct. Okay, Chesed Shel Emes. Now, first of all, Rashi says Pasuk Pshat, that is a Chesed of Emes because you're never going to get anything back. So before we deal with that for half a second, is I just want to point out that other Mepharshim simply explain that Emes, that you bury me because you have to bury me. I guess that's maybe a chi of mutal on a son. I'm not sure exactly. You got to bury me. The Chesed is that please go bring me to Eretz Canaan. So that's just interesting that a lot of Mepharshim say get out of the problem that we're about to have in Rashi very simply by saying two separate things. MS, do it, and Chesed bring me to Eretz Yisrael. Now, on Rashi, about that he's not going to get anything back, Lamaisa Yaakov says to him, I'm going to give you Shechem because of what you're doing for me, because I know you're carrying me to Eretz Yisrael and you're dealing with all this. Lamaisa is giving him Shechem. So what exactly is Pshat in this, that it's a Chesed Shel Emes, that someone's not going to get something back? So there are those who want to say that, well, Yosef didn't know about this yet. You look in the order of the Psukim. Yosef was told this only after he already agreed that he's going to do it, so therefore, it's not so bad. Yaakov really only tells him this later, so therefore, that could be one reason that he took it upon himself not to get anything. Another answer is that a few Bali Taisus say, this is a thing that normally people call a Chesed Shel Emes. I happen to be giving this to you, but even so, you will get Shechem, and it still could be called Chesed Shel Emes. There are those who wanted to say that either Yosef did or Yaakov was telling Yosef how to do it. That even though I am giving you something, do it for the thing itself. Do it for the thing itself. The fact that you're supposed to, you're bearing a mace because you're supposed to.
Right.
The fact that you're going to get something happens to be a side thing, but don't concentrate on that. We happen to say a similar vart by Avram, that the vart by Avram of Lechcha Me'artzcha, for him to do it, sort of doesn't seem to line up with what we know, how you're supposed to do things in Pirkei Avos. Hashem says, I'm going to give you everything, again in Pirkei Avos. It says, Shleil Manasseh Kabel Pras. So I think the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains is that the Nisayon is to do it not concentrating on the fact that you're going to get something. You're doing it because Hashem wants you to do it, and maybe even because Hashem wants you to get that thing. But you are specifically doing it not because you are going to, for yourself, end up with that. A little bit of a complicated concept, but the point being, I'm trying to line it up with the same thing, that perhaps that's what Yosef had to do here. It happens to be he was receiving something, but not that he should be doing it for that.
First answer that is that if a person does a chesed with the kavana of lishma, he wants to do it for the mitzvah. Then afterwards, he's offered a reward, and he accepts the reward. It's still lishma.
From the Rav, that's what it sounds like. That's who gave this answer, Rav Altaira. That's what it sounds like. I don't know how that applies today where we mamash have mitzvahs or whatever, but definitely it seems to fulfill that prerequisite over there.
It's like why like when you're learning and there's like a raffle or something, when you're learning and there's like a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like you have to learn not for the prize, you have to learn and then also get the prize.
Right. 100%. Okay, just jumping a second, once we mention this, is that later on the Parsha, it says that they made an Avol Kaved. They're in the middle of going from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, and in the middle they stop, they make an Avol Kaved, and all the goyim come, they're going to kill them, then they end up hanging their crowns, and it seems like they made a whole shiva there. We're sitting before Yaakov's Kfura, what's going on over here? What are you making an entire shiva before the Kfura? So the Rav, in Maseches Nazir, this is what you're saying, the Rav in Maseches Nazir, in Mishnayis, Mamish, right there on the Mishnah, says that Yaakov was really buried in Mitzrayim. And that stems with the pasuk that he says, Unsosani mi Mitzrayim, carry me with stuff from Mitzrayim, carry me from Mitzrayim, because a mace is koine, is three tefachim. That's what's speaking about in the Mishnah over there. A mace is koine, the three tefachim dirt around them. Let's just say that they have to move someone. Let's say they have to exhume a grave. There's halacha that you have to take the three tefachim around.
It becomes part of their body.
First of all, that's halacha. That's what you saw in the back. Secondly, as to like Ari Levy's mentioning, because he runs into there, perhaps.
Is that the only thing like a dead man can know? Because it says like when he dies, everything is hefker. So other than like
I guess so. Right? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it was with this dirt. With this dirt from the triangle. Lefidus Rav, Mizachas Nazir. So therefore, Bekitsa, the point is that he already had a kvura. Now, definitely, it's a little bit of a aura that, so why are they doing it now? Let them have it. Why didn't they do it back in Mitzrayim? Good, that could be a little aura, but at least we're coming to explain why there could be a shiva now, and perhaps Reb Shalom Shefter wanted to explain why they're sitting shiva now is to really work out with the halacha that when someone gives over the kvura to other people to send on, then they who have given over already start hilcha shiva. So it could be anyways that works out for everything. Then like, now you sort of got the shiva for the last thing. You're getting the shiva for the thing for the kvura up ahead, and therefore
when the woman weren't allowed to go to the
right. Right.
So after Levi, when they came home, they started Shiva, even though the
yeah, listen, you have very interesting cases. There was a young man in Israel whose mother was in Paris in Toronto, and they weren't going to have the Levaya till way later Friday afternoon. He started Shiva before Shabbos, and because he had nothing to do with it, there wasn't anything he could do, so he could be Chayv Shiva already. So he started the Shiva before Shabbos, hours, and then he started Shabbos in the middle of Shiva, and he was a couple days ahead of the whole thing. He finished way before them because he started it like that. Yeah, it definitely comes out very interesting.
Also with Einin.
Yeah.
Like my uncle was flying to Eretz Yisrael. I think he died in Meyerov on the plane or something.
Interesting. I don't know how that works. I think there's still. I don't know. A point. It could be we mentioned recently, but it definitely bears repeating. That what exactly do we want from this? That Yaakov says, "Bury me in Eretz Yisrael." We know there are three reasons. Three reasons that Chazal seem to give. One, because the kinim shouldn't go around him. Agav, there's a Pirush Mishnayis in what's it called in Perkei Avos. Pirush Mishnayis Rambam that says that although all the rest of the Makkos were not around Klal Yisrael, the Kinim were, just they didn't bother them, and that's what Yaakov meant. That's what Yaakov meant, because otherwise you have Akasha, that it seems to say that they weren't around Klal Yisrael. So it means all of them except one. And
why would that be Akasha, who says he was buried in in Goshen?
What, the Kol Shekinim in Mitzrayim? No. See, he's saying don't bury me in Mitzrayim because...
Because of Kenan.
Because of Kenan. What do you mean? I thought the Kenan weren't in Eretz Goshen. I thought no Makkos were in Eretz Goshen. The answer is, Pirush Mishnayis says that one was. Why? All the Makkos stayed out of Goshen except Kenan. They were around, but they did not bother them.
Why?
And Yaakov... Why? I don't remember if he says a reason or not.
Marcel Mechela, like, Yaakov buried Leah in Marcel Mechela, so wasn't Yaakov destined to be buried in Marcel Mechela? Wasn't that also...
Oh, yeah, fine, there could be other reasons. These seem to be the reasons that Chazal gives right here. Another one is that they shouldn't make him a god. And another one... Yaakov.
Pyramids.
Yeah, sure.
On the pyramid.
Yeah, sure.
Very nice.
And the last reason is so that... Yaakov Avinu won't have to go through Gilgal Mechilas. Shtalzach v'shayla. He won't have to roll. He won't have to have the pain. He won't have to have... He's going to have to wait. So we mentioned this. Let's mention it again. What does that mean? You're going to be waiting... How long? 1 second it's going to take Hashem to roll the people from America to Eretz Yisrael? Why do people pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get buried on Har Zeisim and Har Menuchos? The answer is, like we said, because Lamaisa, those people in Eretz Yisrael are going to get up 1 second before, and that's 1 second more of Nitzchis. The reason I'm asking the question is because we don't understand what Nitzchis is. But forever living in the Ar of Mashiach, 1 second more, that's something that they're going to have that we'll never be able to get back. Bishlama, these days, you have a simcha, you miss a week. Your chavrusa then has a simcha, so now sort of like you're almost even. Like, okay, that's how the world works. Pros and cons of, you know, pluses, minuses, it always ends up. But when Mashiach comes, it's never going to be made back. And that's going to be really painful. A second gone forever.
It's never going to, like, end.
Hagufa. So that'll be that second that's always lost. That's very painful. If we knew what a second of Mashiach is.
Maybe Yaakov didn't mention Marcel Fehl because Yosef would have gotten upset about Rachel.
Maybe. That's interesting. To mention about something that you're saying that Yosef got upset about, or might have gotten upset about, he says right now, because right, Yaakov does mention him, that I buried Leah on the road. Rach on the road, thank you. What's his Nagana? Why didn't he tell him this 20 years ago? Buried him there, the whole Cheshbin, because that's where it happened, Al-Piyah Dibor. Why didn't you say this back then? Rabbi Soloveitchik answered, because you only say something when it needs to be explained. When a father does something, even if the son thinks differently right then, the father doesn't have to explain if the father knows he's doing something correctly. Now, it is many, many years later. Yosef's on top. Yaakov needs this to happen from Yosef, and Yosef might have a time and might not do it. Therefore, it bears explaining an explanation. But a father, if he knows he's doing something right, does not have to explain to his son what's happening.
But wouldn't that help with Chenech? I don't know. Like, if Yaakov explained at that time when he buried Rachel...
Baruch Hashem, Stama Yaakov was confident that it wouldn't be in a way that it would totally ruin his son. If it would have been, then I don't know. Maybe that's something to worry about. But in this type of way, this is where to say no, but not necessarily in another shape or form. Okay, like we mentioned last week, Yosef, why did they have to tell Yosef that Yaakov's sick? I mean, he wasn't around enough. He was his prized Talmud, and now they're finally together. He shouldn't be around and know? So the answer is, like we mentioned last week, that Yosef did not know because he did not want to be near Yaakov, lest Yaakov ask him, hey, by the way, what happened? Where were you all those years? And it would have, chas v'shalom, come out. Lashon Hara, not only that, I have down this week that a lashon of the Das HaKeinim is that Yosef was afraid that Yaakov for a minute would be upset at the Shvatim, curse them, and then you basically that would be the end of the world, right? We know Yaakov accidentally gave a curse to Rachel, and she ended up by accident, she ended up dying. If Yaakov gets angry for a second at the Shvatim,
Brian,
what they did,
second thing over.
The curse of the Talmud Chacham, even if it's
lashon. Yep. Yep.
So what's it called? What's it called? Because the Shvatim. If he would have said, so Yaakov didn't know anything that happened, Pashtus.
So Lefi the Ramban, Yaakov did not know. Rashi seems to say, though, through the brachas, that he was giving them Musar, that he was giving Reuven and Shimon and Levi Musar, right? And Shimon and Levi's Musar is about Mechiras Yosef, seems to be, if you read Rashi correctly, right? So what happened? So the Aruch HaNer in Yevamis says that you have to say that he knew right before he died. Right before he died, there was Taka Sam Gilui, right? Then Hashem was able to see everything.
Right
anyways,
before Yaakov died?
What? Right before Yaakov died. Right, that's when these brachas are happening. So after that, and then he was able to give the Musar. Fine. Then he found out then, but it was more in a, I guess, a controlled way of...
It wasn't like the Shvatim tell, like, it wasn't Lashon Hara.
No, but Yosef didn't tell him. Yaakov maybe had some Gilui, something like Yaakov Chachat. Yaakov Chachat, maybe the Shama saw.
How is Gilui not Lashon Hara?
That, right? And also... Interesting, Gematria, the Vilna Gaon says, Yosef's coming to Yaakov, Yaakov's sick in the bed. Hine bincha Yosef ba'ilecha, the Gaon says, Hine is Gematria 60. Because Yosef, we know, was the Ben Gila of Yaakov. We know there are a lot of similarities between them. Both hated by brothers, right? Both very smart, but a lot of very similarities that there makes them Ben Gila, same type of mazel, whatever that means exactly. And not only that, it's Rashi, Vayeshev. And a Ben Gilai is someone, we know there's something about going over to Achayla and being able to help him get better just by being there. Really, the Nusach of Chazal is that a Ben Gilai, someone who's like the same type of mazel who goes to visit someone sick, he actually removes 1/60th of the sickness. So therefore, right, it says Hine, the Yaakov had 60 parts filling his sickness. And then afterwards, he sat on the Mita. Mita is Gematria 59. Because Yosef, by coming, he took away 1/60th, and Yaakov was now able to sit up. You have to know. Okay. Anyways, so fine.
Very good. Like
yeah. 49.
That's good. What?
Wait, Mita's.
I'm sorry. Maybe Hamita. Hamita. I'm sorry. Hamita. Yes. Thank you for correcting. Hamita. Then you get the 59. Correct. Thank you. Okay. Say another Gematria once. We're saying on that Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim v'Shimi, Nili. Right, Yaakov tells Yosef that they will be just like them. The Balturim and the Rush, the Sakein and Panachrosa. They all say that Ephraim Umenashe is Gematria 732, Reuven and Shimon is Gematria 731. So with Shechem Achad Al Achecha that he's giving, that Yaakov gave to Yosef, the Shechem. So first of all, you can still get away with it, 732, 731, you're allowed to be one off. But the Shechem Achad Al-Chachad, this that he's giving the present is more to be master than 732, and then literally, Reuven, Ephraim and Asher are like Reuven and Shimon. Why?
What's Shechem again? What's
the place Shechem? Of Shechem. Yaakov gave Shechem as a present to Yosef.
He's buried. Oh, he's buried there.
Yosef is buried there, yeah.
But he doesn't have any Ephraim and Asher. Where is it? There's no Yosef, it's Ephraim and Asher. So Ephraim, both Ephraim and Asher got it. And
There are many times, Rabban explains, there are many times that in Tanakh, really more Nach, that we find that Yosef is used sometimes because you can only say 12. When we're saying the Shvatim, actual names, we can only say 12. So sometimes we need to say Levi. When we're going to do that, we're going to say Yosef. So there are many times that you say Yosef. And then the Yecheskel, when it's saying the Sha'arim of Eretz Yisrael, that'll be lost to Levi, next base of Migdash, it says Yosef over there. It says Levi.
So Ephraim and Asher share that, whatever that means?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Legabi thinks they are separate. Legabi thinks they end up being
one. Ephraim and Asher share equal rights?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
12 units in the base of Migdash?
It lost a love. Yecheskel, there's a whole Nevuah in Yecheskel. It has to be set up either in Eretz Yisrael until they submit the different Sha'arim for the Shvatim. Different gates are going to
have. So if it's one, but it's really two because it's five and Asher. Yeah. So that's,
points. Yaakov was an Av, and then he had 12 split out of him. So Yosef was
an... He's two, really.
Right.
This is Ephraim and Manasseh, so he's really two. Yeah, he's really two short.
Fine. So Yaakov was really two.
Right.
You're
12.
Saying even then? Okay.
Yaakov's 13.
Okay.
Well, not really, but Yaakov's 12 right. plus 1.
Right. I'm saying it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing.
Also yeah. the no. reason why Ephraim and Manasseh came short them is because, like, the cow something.
What?
I forgot what it is.
Has to do with what I'm about to say right now. That the reason that we use the brach of them, right? Lamaisa, there was a simcha Yisimcha Kim Kavram, and it should be benched. Like it happened with each. Why were Ephraim and Manasseh picked? That their bracha is given every Shabbos night because these are the ones who shtayed the most. They're sitting in the bottom pit of Mitzrayim, and they were still able to ignore their surroundings and vaksayis gresa people in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, that's what we choose to bench throughout the Dairis with all the trials and tribulations that we might have. That you should be able to be like Ephraim Manasseh that stand up to the times. What?
They're probably princes. They can get whatever they want.
Well, right. And still. And still, look, Ephraim sat learning Torah all day with what's going on. And even if Manasseh might have been a little more, you know, part of with the Yosef and the translator and the whole thing, Lamaisa still, Gamhu Yigdal, he's going to have great people come from him also.
Could be that I heard this or I'm making it up, but Ephraim and Manasseh, they're the only two brothers that didn't fight with
each other. Yes, I heard that as well. Yes, I heard that as well. The first two brothers, Cain and Hevel, Yaakov and Esav, Yitzchak and Shmuel. Yes,
well, they don't have a choice because they kind of need one friend if you're in like a whole entire country.
Right, that's definitely true. That's definitely always sense. Something you know, you have to figure out.
You're the prince, so like, shouldn't you
Cain and Hevel?
No, him? No.
Yeah, they're the only two sons in the world and still they killed each other.
Another interesting film of going
$1 billion
is that it says, Al Shem Achim, Yikaru B'Nachalosom, that on the name of their brother they should be called with their nachla.
Yeah.
And the Goyin had a daughter that her kid had died. And when she was expecting again, she went to the Vilna Goyin to daven. And he said that you should give the old name of the previous child to the new child as a second name. And then it'll be a school that the second child shall live in. That's what it's saying. Al Shem Achayim. And then Yikaru B'Nachalosom. Give the old brother's name. And then they will be Zeichah to grow up and have Nachla. I've seen this story in practice. There was a young man in Yeshiva who Nebuch's child was, within a matter of hours, a regular three-year-old and succumbed to meningitis within a matter of hours, was alive basically barely for another 9 days. You know, really brain dead already, but his body was still around. And Baruch Hashem, a year later, Parshas Vayechi, I think it was, he had a son, and they ended up doing this. They ended
second
up
name?
Doing this. He gave the second name.
Parshas Vayechi, or you added that because there was in Parshas Vayechi?
No. It was Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi. And I believe, I remember my Rashiva Ritzi Kaplan saying that the Brisker Rav usually said not necessarily to do this practice anymore because generally, if someone's dealing with a kid or whatever, and there could be a lot of tsar, so then they'll remember the new kid with a lot of tsar. But I think Marashiva Paskin, that in this case would be different because they had an enjoyable time with a three-year-old. And then, literally a matter of hours, and then he was already gone, so therefore it could be different. It could be the reason of Nechama, probably, that the Vilna Goyim was pulling from, and the Skula could be Negeya.
Right, but you also have to put like two names because the bad one is still first. The first one is still bad, like when someone dies early.
Yeah.
If you want to give that name, you have to put like a second name.
Right.
Or you have to like add on another name.
Right, so they're saying, I think he's saying the new name first probably. That happens to be Reb Chaim Volozhiner, not Reb Chaim Volozhiner.
Right, because
that you put the name you want to switch, you put that first. Like it's saying, okay, here's this name and I want to give some better mazel tits. That's why you put it the other name first. That'll create mazel. I've heard others say exactly the opposite for the opposite. But
two names?
What? If someone's doing two names.
Right, no, Shulgaz, he's written that into like
that, mazel. Not just that. It's Ryakov Kam. Ryakov Kam Netsky was one name. One name, Zehu.
Is his father?
Yeah.
Very right. They're very nice.
Yes.
One name, one mazel.
One name, exactly. Don't mix, don't do it. Exactly.
What's
going to
be a problem with mixing mazel?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's
it called? Mixing mazels or just.
You can't, ask him when you see him.
All right, well, I mean,
you can't explain
it.
After a person gets ADHD, then this mahal,
no,
that mahal.
It's hard to explain.
You have to know. I don't know.
So, like, if you're adding on another name to a sick person, you add on his second name?
That you, I think I've heard both ways. I think I've heard first also. I think I've heard first, I'm not sure. right? What?
Only origin.
But if they are nifter.
Shmuel Bormel, I think they call Rafal Shmuel.
Only if it's 30 days afterwards that they were
no,
alive.
No, they're nifter.
Then their new name
they
stays.
Don't call them.
What? If they end up being nifter from the sickness, then the name falls off, I think.
Unless it was 30 days after the name goes off.
Somebody, I think so. If
right,
they
so
died from the sickness.
Right, so then you should do it in the end. Like, if you like Rafal,
right.
You know, Gamaliel,
right.
Like, this is weird.
Right.
Excuse me.
I hear. Okay.
So either one, really.
What?
So either really one.
Right. Right. I guess there's, you know, everything backing everything.
How could someone else name? I'm saying halachically speaking, how could someone else give someone a name if that person already has bechira in there over bar mitzvah?
There's such a thing of keeping someone alive. I guess giving what's it called?
No, but he doesn't have.
Right. He's saying he's over bar mitzvah.
Okay, at the end of the parsha, very very interesting Dvar Torah. It says they come back. The brothers come back from burying Yaakov, and they say to Yosef something extremely interesting. They say that our father commanded us before he died. Our father commanded us before he died, saying, say to Yosef, please bear the sin of your brothers because they did bad to you. And the obvious question is that, besides the fact that did Yaakov know or not, this could maybe show either way, Yaakov never told this to them. So how can they make this up?
Also, how would this be a reason for Yosef not to see his father for the last 17 years if he knew already that they
that's
knew?
So that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying also. Exactly. Exactly. So the Gemara Yevamos learns from here that from Mikan it is Mutter Lashanas Mibnei Hashalom, that you will have to change Mibnei Hashalom. Frek the Oral Chener, what does that mean exactly? Why says Shekel? Why says lying? What?
Hashem.
By Avram, Sarah.
Yeah,
that's by husband, wife.
Yeah.
How do we know this?
Oh, Givaldic. Yes.
By Aaron also, no?
Shino, yeah, okay, but this would give a nice insight to that whole thing. Give a nice insight. La Ayla Maisa Sheker. So this gives a very nice insight. It's similar to something that we said about Avimelech, with the late Sonny Adar of Avimelech. He said that what they're doing over here is saying something that could be heard two different ways. Meaning, they said, Avichat Tziva Lifnei Maisa Lamar. Why are they saying Lamar twice? Vaitzava Yosef Lamar. All right, now we're getting the conversation started. Why are they sticking Lamar in the back? I'm going to say to you. So my father commanded saying, what's the saying? Throw out the saying. So he wanted to say that Yaakov commanded us before he died. Whatever he said then. Now, a new thing. Anasano Pesha Achecha, please bear our sin.
Well, you just split it in half.
Exactly. That is literally why this is MS. That's why this is MS. Because they're saying, Yaakov said, it's not almost like Yaakov himself was able to do with Yitzchak about saying two different, right? But it could be heard as one way. So that's over here also. They're splitting it. Batim, Yaakov said whatever he said before he died. Now, Yosef, please do us a favor and bear our sin and be kind to us.
Not asking Mechil.
Well, okay, that's what you'll have to speak to Naftali after the shir about many makars, either way, if Yosef actually was Michael them or not. But Lamaisa, what we're trying to bring out is that what the Gemara is saying is that you are allowed to say something that could be heard as two different ways. Obviously, it sounds like we see from the pasuk that as if Yaakov commanded, but you can't actually go ahead and lie.
Oh my God.
Doesn't always run with your wife, though.
Right, exactly, yes.
So what, the brothers
basically
you have
to know how to work that out.
Somebody's going to work.
How would the brothers have said this then?
This is how they said it.
No, but this is how the Pasuk tells us how the whole event. I'm saying, how did they actually... I'm saying, how... You're saying...
They probably said it something like this. Our father commanded us before he died, saying, say to Yosef, please do us a favor, like, maybe like a split pause or something in a way that Yosef... Someone listening would know, okay, maybe they're just clearing their
throat.
So
they ended their story, and then a split second later, okay, can you forgive us?
Exactly.
Well, they asked, I guess it.
But technically,
they asked Mechila?
It's too close together.
Well, seemingly that's what they're doing. Sona Pesha Achach, Vachatos, and Krav Moluch, Vachatos, please be nice to us. Say, well, it's very interesting. Exactly the point of those different terror back and forth. Exactly. Yeah, don't fear, really, I'm under Hashem. You thought to do bad to me, Hashem commanded it for good. You're right, he does not straight out say Mechila. You're right, that definitely which time that's why. Yeah, that's what we were discussing last week, exactly. Exactly.
That's like, but that's, okay, that's very, it's like very deep, because then if you hit someone, right? Let's say you kill someone's son, right?
Yeah.
Not you, someone. So, hey, it's fine, no, you don't have to do it, but the mice to kill the son. So, should you be mad at him or happy with him? You know, like, do it, shut up with his other, you know, kid. Is that like a normal thing?
Right, no, I'm like, saying, right, but listen, you know, listen, yeah, there's a Rabbi Asher by Sikam Vlesitar that says that right, it needs to help continue the feeling.
What?
I'm just pulling a similarity by bearing a grudge and taking revenge.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to control your immediate emotions? That's immediate emotions.
Right.
I don't remember who he quoted from that immediate emotions is not this or this, or is to try to burn it to keep it going, to keep creating that grudge and creating it. But what's the norm that you're feeling? Okay, maybe you should work on yourself at other points or whatever, but that's not... So I would say maybe the same thing here about what you just said. That no, you don't necessarily... Yeah, listen, someone who's a huge Baal Madreig and a Baal Emunah, whatever, fine, but it...
I once did something to somebody, unintentionally. And I asked Mechila, like 8 or 9 years later, and the answer I got was, oh, it was from Hashem. I said, no, but do you forgive me? It was from Hashem. I didn't get forgiven.
Yeah.
8, 9 years later.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, 3 times, or...
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's.
See, that's it.
Oh.
That's. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like that's like Yosef's way of getting the same way the brothers said they did this whole stick with the interruption. So like Yosef did the same thing back. Like he didn't say that he forgave him, but don't worry.
So is it?
Isn't that funny?
So are you allowed to bear a grudge or not? That's the thing.
Oh yeah, obviously a person should work on himself to be able to say the Torah.
But
yes,
it wasn't much.
I mean, look what happened to him, right?
He became a king. That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, listen, what's it called?
Two of us, right?
How Hashem would have set it up, we don't know, right? Hashem and Echachazmach set it up, but Lamaisa, as far as the doing, right? If the brothers wouldn't have been mad at Yosef, they wouldn't necessarily gone down to Mitzrayim that way. Might have been done another way that they would have ended Mitzrayim. Maybe they wouldn't have at all, but... They probably had to because they had to go to Korba. So okay. I'm saying there's it could have could other things could have happened other ways.
Should answer my question.
What?
That's my question. So could you be regretting someone or not?
That's what I'm saying. That it's hard to say, but at some at the right away the start, I'm trying to say that it could be that Yosef couldn't be, maybe Yosef knew, like you were saying, they had to clean themselves up.
He couldn't be Michael them. Like,
he couldn't be Michael them. If he was Michael them, then I don't know what Hashem would do.
Michael them every year, every.
Good, Hagufa. Maybe nothing. His Mechila. Michael. Well, what if it doesn't really fix it between them and Hashem in a deeper level?
But I'm not chayvim to do things.
Okay, but maybe.
But Hashem is Michael.
Someone tell last week. I think about like that. You said when Yosef didn't give them Mechila because he had to fix them or something like that. They knew they had to fix them. I don't know. I thought
they
said
that. I saw that.
They what?
He did all these things with the stuff.
Okay, just to end off with a interesting vart. Yosef says to Paroi, "Of Yishbiani Lamer Hinyan Echimes, I'm going to die. Bekivri Asher Karisili, in the grave which I dug." Where did Yaakov dig a grave? When did he dig his own grave? Yes, we said this last year. Frek the Rogachover, another question. When they come back, it says they came back from being likpres aviv achri kavres aviv. Well, what's the double lashon? Burying the father after burying the father. So after the rogachover azay, there's a halacha that when two people walk together, then the more chashuv person is supposed to walk on the right side, the less chashuv person on the left side. When there are three people, then the most chashuv person in the middle,
then the right,
and then the next one on the right, and then the last one on the left. Yitzchak is coming to be buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Where should you bury him? Well, Avram's there. Where should you put him? So Avram is more chashev. Avram should be on the right side. Yitzchak should be on the left side.
about other Mishnah?
I remember this.
It could be he's on the lower
floor. But then what about Yaakov? Yaakov would be on.
Now the... comes Yaakov. Now you have three people. What do you do with three people? You got to put Avram in the middle, put Yitzhak on the right side, and put Yaakov on the left side. Therefore, Yaakov ended up going on the left side in the grave which he dug. He dug his own grave many, many years before when Yitzhak was Nifter, and he buried him with Esav. And that's the... that's the likras of him, achri covers of him. In other words, burying his father after he buried his father because they had to do a double gvura. They had to redo Yitzchak, and then yes, and then I guess there'll be another example where you're allowed to do it. Maybe.
Well, and also Rivka.
So why don't they put them in the original spot, knowing that Yaakov's going to come?
Because there's a halacha that when you have two people next to each other, the chashal person has to go on the right.
Yaakov's coming. Though.
Because at that time,
the way, he's
it's not happening right away.
Well, no, that's what he's pointing out. The chayr, you would have had to move the women.
It's 80 years
fine.
Later.
Fine.
I don't know.
Fine. They moved them also. It's a nice point.
You can't move around the dead.
It says they weren't on the...
For certain reasons, you're not supposed to, but there are certain reasons, and I guess this passed enough to say...
Why can't the women be on the opposite side?
What do you mean?
The men aren't here and the women are here.
Yeah.
So then you just moved Avram over.
Yeah.
You move Yitzhak over, and you move Yaakov. So you're not touching the woman. The women are across from them.
Yeah, but we're making the assumption that they were across from their husbands. So you would have to remove the muscle.
Yeah, if that were
okay.
The case.
Could
but,
be.
I mean,
could be.
We said a few weeks ago that when Yaakovinu was gonna battle with Esav, he split up his camp.
Right.
So his chesed was that Esav will be a day away. He'll put his two camps a day apart, and so he won't be able to kill both camps.
Right.
So we asked them that Esav wasn't killed on the same day as Yaakov. Esav was killed. Esau didn't die the same day as Yaakov. He died a few days later when they were burying him.
Right.
Esau outlived Yaakov.
Right, but still, he ended up dying on the same day as the Kvura.
No, because Yaakov laughed.
Right.
Something.
Yeah, it's another
magic.
If you
say Kvura and the Esau were the same thing, then Yaakov's chesed by the two camps wouldn't have worked.
I'll go for that. We asked that then. That's, yeah, we asked that.
But so is there another answer that we could suggest to the fact that they didn't end up dying on the same day?
It's hard to say, because Chazal say Lamaisa Rivka was misnabi, that Lamash Kal Shneichem V'Yamecha, that Lamaisa will be. Well, yeah, okay, there could be other Mahalchim. There could be other Mahalchim.
So
okay, just end off, like Mar Shiva always used to end off, that there are definitely many times every day, every week, every month, and that people can make cheshbonos, but lamaisa it bears that as we close a chumash, closing off Sefer Bereishis, it's time to think about it. It's something that we've moving away from the Sefer of Yetzirah, moving on to the Sefer of Geula, something to take with of the Av, Yosef, right? Naftali, our old Vart, Yosef helps us connect that Yosef really had, his dying is mentioned in Vayichin, his dying is mentioned in Shemais. How come? Because Yosef had sort of a din av as well, right? We see Lamaisa, he could have had 12 shvatim, he ended up losing it, whatever. Vart is exactly with that, but he had a bechinas av as well, and therefore he's mentioned in both because he has a bechinah of av and his bechinah of a ben. Lamaisa he's a ben Yaakov as well, and we say over from the Yavitz and Brachas that if so, then we know that the avos were all masakin a tefillah, which tefillah is or keneged, and which tefillah is what's it called? It's keneged musaf. Yosef is connected. Well, so if that doesn't always have it, you have it sometimes, you don't have it. I can say with that about Kopanim, to take on from break. So we have from the Tzir going on to the Gul and Shemais, especially a time like the winter, Baruch Hashem, Miami, not necessarily so dark and dim, but Maisa to take it on for the way of the light to growing and steiging.